Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to the teleconference series by His Holiness Bhakti Charan Swami on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Today's class is on Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 19th chapter, the final chapter in the first canto. And Guru Maharaj is in Bombay. And as usual, Guru Maharaj will be speaking for about 40 minutes, and then there will be questions and answers afterwards. Right now, we're only on teleconference. We're trying to set up the Mayapur TV broadcast. So meanwhile, we'll continue with the teleconference. Okay. So everyone is on mute right now, except for Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj?
Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. So, final chapter of the first canto, the 19th chapter. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Parikshit Maharaj, becoming very tired, hungry and thirsty, approached Shamik Rishi in the forest, and he asked him for some to give him some water or some food, but not getting any answer from Shamik Rishi because he was in a trance, he became very upset, very angry, and so he saw a dead snake lying around. So he picked up that dead snake and wrapped it around Shamik Rishi's neck, and then he left. And Shamik Rishi's son, little boy Sringi, when he was informed by his friends what has happened, he was very, very angry. And he cursed Parikshit Maharaj for his inappropriate act, that within 7 days he is going to be beaten by a snake bird, Takshak. It's not, although Prabhupada described that the snake bird, but actually these are celestial snakes that can actually fly also. Sometimes, because it was described as snake bird, some devotees painted Takshak as a serpent with wings. But that was not actually the real feature. The snakes are snakes. Although they have abilities to fly, they do not actually have wings. And that means they can actually go from one place to another with their mystic power. And so these snakes reside in the lower planetary systems, Nagaloka. Nagaloka is the lower region of the universe. And he was going to come and bite Parikshit Maharaj. And in the meantime, Parikshit Maharaj also started to feel very guilty for behaving like that, for acting like that. That he unnecessarily insulted that great sage. So, while he was feeling guilty in this way, and he was also thinking that let whatever difficulty may come, let it come. Because the difficulties are the results of bad karma. And by going through the difficulties, one actually gets rid of the bad karma. Therefore, a person who is situated in knowledge does not mind facing these difficulties, because he knows that after all, these difficulties are going to purify him from his sinful reactions. And so Parikshit Maharaj wanted, let it happen, let the difficulties come. And because I have acted in an inappropriate way, and let the calamity come in order to free me from the inappropriate action. So this is the Vedic culture. In the way, this point is very important to note, that we should not try to avoid difficulties. Modern materialistic culture always tries to avoid difficulties. But avoiding difficulties are not good, because then your bad karma remains. And sooner or later they're going to come. After all, we cannot avoid the bad karma. The bad karma is going to happen. Bad karma is going to come. So, I mean, the consequences of bad karma. Every action has a reaction, and it's there. And the only way to get rid of the reaction is by surrendering to Krishna. By surrendering to Krishna, we can become free from all our sinful reactions. And the question may arise now, that the devotees also go through difficulty. Devotees who have surrendered to Krishna still go through difficulties. But here we have to understand that those difficulties are actually minimized reactions. It was meant to be much worse, but because a devotee has surrendered to Krishna, Krishna actually takes care of that bad karma by minimizing. Like, one's hand was, the reaction was, as a result of some reaction, one was supposed to lose his whole hand. But that is minimized, that reaction, just by a little cut, maybe, in the hand. So this is how Krishna minimizes the difficulties or bad karma of the devotee. Anyway, so Parikshit Maharaj was laughing for his inappropriate act. And at that time, he got the news about the curse by the Brahmana boy. And so Parikshit Maharaj immediately accepted that curse. Again, another ideal act of a devotee. He didn't want to counteract that act, counteract that curse. When he was told about the curse, he said, okay, this is the right thing. I have done something wrong and I am getting a reaction. So in this way, in Bhagavatam, time and time again, we get to see the nature of a pure devotee, the character of a pure devotee. His all actions are Krishna conscious. He simply goes through his life as a divine arrangement of Krishna. Whatever happens to him is Krishna's divine mercy, Krishna's divine arrangement. So then Parikshit Maharaj, when he heard about that curse, he immediately decided, okay, now I will give up my... I will prepare myself. 7 days I have. So for the 7 days, I will not eat or drink or sleep this, the time that I have, I will just spend this time in meditating on Krishna, remembering Krishna. And so thinking that, he went to the bank of the Ganges. Now here also a very beautiful point has been made, that Ganges is the river that purified even personalities like Lord Shiva. Because Ganges is coming from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is most auspicious, it's most divine, it's most holy. So holy, so divine, that it can even sanctify Lord Shiva. Therefore Lord Shiva is holding the Ganges on his head, as if being bathed by Ganges, even Lord Shiva is getting purified. Different demigods, exalted demigods become purified. All the sages and exalted personalities get sanctified by taking their bath in the Ganges. That's why it's so important to take shelter of the Ganges. And one point has been made here, that a person who is going to leave his body, who is destined to die, must take shelter of the Ganges. Because by taking shelter of the Ganges, one becomes free from all his sinful reactions and becomes prepared for the spiritual world. So, Parikshit Maharaj then sat down on the bank of the Ganges to concentrate his mind in Krishna consciousness, rejecting all the other practices of self-realization, because transcendental loving service to Krishna is the greatest achievement, superseding all other methods. There are various other methods, various other processes for spiritual progress. But the ultimate spiritual progress is the surrender of Krishna and become a devotee of Krishna, which means to become Krishna conscious. In this respect, Prabhupada gives a very beautiful analogy, that the ladder and the rungs of the ladder. So the rungs of the ladder are parts of the ladder, and they are actually meant to climb up. So similarly, bhakti is the ladder, and different processes are the rungs of the ladder. Those rungs by themselves cannot give perfection. It is the, it's being a part of ladder, and gradually progressing in that ladder, one reaches the ultimate point. For example, karma, action, just action is not important. Actions, karma, is the cause of bondage. But when karma is rendered with bhakti, then it becomes bhakti yoga. Then it is a part of our spiritual progress. Similarly, jnana by itself is no use. There are so many jnanis, so many philosophers, but they are not able to become free from material bondage and make spiritual advancement. But jnana with bhakti becomes jnana yoga. So the process of yoga connecting to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is exclusively related to bhakti. When different activities are rendered with bhakti, then they become yogas. So Parikshit Maharaj was aware of that. Therefore he rejected all other processes. Sankhya, yoga, austerity, penance, sacrifice, this, that. All these processes he rejected and decided just meditate upon Krishna, meaning remembering Krishna and his divine pastimes. And at that time, all the great personalities from all over the universe came there. Many saintly demigods came, and many, many sages came there. Among the sages, there was Narad Muni, Vasudev, Atri, Angira, Pilastha, Pilaha, Bhrigu, Vasishtha, Vishwamitra, Parashuram, Indra Pramada, Devala, Bharadaj, Gautam. So these are all extremely great personalities. So they also came there at that time. And Parikshit Maharaj greeted them properly, and then he presented to them, after honoring them, after greeting the prophet. He presented to them about his desire, his decision to give up the prophet. That now that he has been cursed to die within 7 days, and so he decided to sit on a prayoprobeshan. Prayoprobeshan means stopping to eat and drink, sitting down on the bank of the holy river, one gives up his body. So, Parikshit Maharaj expressed his decision, and all these great personalities appreciated that. Yes, this is the right thing to do. Instead of begging different people to bless them, great personalities to bless them, so that they can extend their lives, Parikshit Maharaj simply decided to, okay, now I'll try to fix my mind at the lotus feet. All these years, I tried in so many ways to rule my kingdom and fulfill my various responsibilities and duties. Now is the time to fix my mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. And he surrendered to them. Please accept me as a completely surrendered soul. And let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let Takshak, or whatever magical thing that Brahmana created, bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the beads of the Lord. So let me hear, while I have to leave my body, let me hear the name of the Lord. Let me hear the glory of the Lord. So in this way, Bhagavatam actually prepares us, trains us on how to leave the body. At the time of death, we should just be prepared. Okay, now the death has come, is coming. Now let me fix my mind and stick with Krishna. But today's culture is just the opposite. Everyone is trying to extend their lives. The body is completely finished. There is no, all the organs are not functioning, but they are trying to extend their lives. In a coma, they're just lying in their bed still with all kinds of things, you know, the artificial breathing process, ventilator is pumped somehow, injecting some oxygen. Heart is artificially arranged to pump some blood in the body. So they're just trying to extend the lifespan. What's the point in living like that? Rather be ready, be prepared. Let death come. You know, now the death is coming, let me just be ready to face it. But how to face it? So that I can remember myself, Krishna. I can remember Krishna myself. And let me be surrounded by the devotees who will be chanting the holy name of the Lord. And that is the perfect way to prepare ourselves for death. That's why we should always pray that we can always remain in the association of devotees, so that at the time of death, they can remind me of Krishna. They can sing the glory of Krishna, and I have the good fortune to hear them chanting the holy name of the Lord and the glory of the Lord. And what was Parikshit Maharaj's prayer at the time to the brahmanas? That please bless me that I can always remain Krishna conscious. Even if I have that world, that I can remain Krishna conscious. In this way you can see a devotee doesn't desire for liberation. Devotee simply wants to be Krishna conscious in his condition. Kito janamoho jathatuadashu. In the association of your devotees, let me take birth even as an infant. Kita janamoho jathatuadashu. Bohir mukho brahma janme nahiyashu. I do not want to have the birth of Lord Brahma if that birth is averse to Krishna consciousness. So what kind of body we get is not important. What is important that we can be with the association of devotees. So that is the most important thing, and that is what he is saying to the Brahmana. So if he's saying, again offering obeisances unto all you Brahmanas, I pray that if I should again take my birth in this material world, I'll have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relationship with all living beings. Now, he simply is praying for three things. That he can be completely attached to Krishna, he can associate with the devotees, and develop a friendly and favorable relationship with all other living beings. All living beings. So, in this way, completely controlling himself, Parikshit Maharaj sat down on a seat of Kusha grass. Kusha grass is the auspicious seat. With the straw roots facing the east. Now, Kusha grass should be placed in such a way that the straw roots face the east. Placed on the southern bank of the Ganges, and he himself faced the north. Just previously, he had given charge to his kingdom over Krishna. So in this way, he prepared to fast until death. And at that time, the demigods were so pleased with this act of Parikshit Maharaj that they started to shower flowers from the heavenly sky. And so, in this way, Parikshit Maharaj was preparing himself in this wonderful assembly of the exalted personality. And they also assured him that we shall all wait here until the foremost devotee of the Lord, Maharaj Parikshit, returns to the Supreme Planet, which is completely free from all mundane contamination and all kinds of lamentation. The spiritual sky is free from lamentation and anxiety. And all kinds of mundane contamination. Spiritual sky is beyond this material nature. It is a pure platform, Shuddha Shakti. It's a perfectly pure spiritual platform. And the characteristic of that platform is that there is no anxiety. Therefore, that place is known as Vaikuntha. And why there no one has any anxiety? Because they all are completely surrendered to Krishna. So we can see the way to become free from anxiety is to surrender to Krishna. When we surrender to Krishna, we become free from anxiety. Because Krishna takes care. Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. When one surrenders himself to Krishna and becomes his devotee, Krishna takes care of him in all respects. In this way we can also see that Krishna is taking care of everyone. What to speak of his devotees? Everyone's basic needs are completely taken care of by Krishna. Food, shelter, clothing, drinking, etc. Drinks, air, oxygen. So everything is being provided by Krishna. Krishna is supplying. Now, whether one is a devotee or not, Krishna is taking care. So what to speak of someone who has taken shelter of Krishna? You can't even imagine how Krishna will take care of that. So that devotee. Such wonderful examples are there right in front of us. Prahlad Maharaj. How did Krishna protect him? It's not that there was no difficulty. There was not that there was no danger. Like actually he was in the most dangerous situation, Prahlad Maharaj. But he was in a Vaikuntha situation. No anxiety. Because he was surrendered to Krishna. He knew that I have taken shelter of Krishna, so now let him decide whether I should die or I should live. If he wants me to die, I will die. It's all up to him. So that is how he felt. And now look at Parikshit Maharaj's attitude also. Oh great sages, you have all very kindly assembled here, having come from all parts of the universe. You are all as good as supreme knowledge personified, who resides in the planet above the three worlds. Who resides in the planet above the three worlds, Saptaloka. Consequently, you are naturally inclined to be good to others. And but for this, we have no interest either in this life or its next. O trustworthy Brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and especially of those who are just about to die. So he actually appealed to everybody, please guide me at a difficult time like this, because you all are situated in perfect knowledge. And at that time, Sukadeva Goswami appeared. Just from his physiognomy, just from his the body, the shape of the body, they could understand that he is an extremely exalted person. He was only 16 years old, the son of illustrious son of Dasdeva. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead, and the other parts of his body are all delicately formed. His eyes were beautifully wide, and his nose and ears were highly raised. He had a very attractive face, and his neck was well formed and beautiful, like a conch shell. His collarbone was fleshy, his chest broad and thick, his navel deep, and his abdomen beautiful in stride. His arms were long, and curly hair was strewn all over his beautiful face. He was naked, and the hue of his body reflected that of Lord Krishna. His bodily complexion was just like Krishna's bodily complexion. And so so in this way Parikshita, Sukadeva Goswami arrived there, and Sukadeva Goswami assumed his seat, receiving respect from all. Actually, all of them recognized the greatness of or exalted position of Sukadeva Goswami, although they didn't know who he was, because that's the first time he actually arrived in public. But many of them wondered, is this Sukadeva about whom we heard but he never met? And that is confirmed, yes, this is a son of mine. And Parikshit Maharaj immediately surrendered to him with folded hands and inquired with sweet words, O Brahmana, by your mercy only you have sanctified us, making us like unto places of pilgrimage, all by your presence here as my guest. By your mercy, we who are but unworthy royalty become eligible to serve the devotee. So in this way he kept on appealing to Parikshita, to Sukadeva Goswami, expressing his exalted position. He should bestow his mercy on him in the form of transcendental knowledge. This is the way one should approach a friendly personality, with an intense desire to hear from him about Krishna and his glory. Beautifully he describes, simply by our remembering you, our houses become instantly sanctified. What to speak of seeing you, touching you, washing your holy feet, and offering you a fit in our home. Just as the atheist cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invaluable sins of a man are immediately vanquished in your presence. Jaharo, Dosh, by his sight, one becomes sanctified. Sin trivialized, a beautiful analogy given. Just as an atheist cannot stand in front of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot remain in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished in your presence. Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is very dear to the son of King Pandu, has accepted me as one of those relatives just to please his great cousins and brothers. Now he is talking about the glory of Krishna, the greatness of Krishna. Because of his love for the sons of Pandu, he has accepted me as his relative. Otherwise, without being inspired by Lord Krishna, how is it that you have voluntarily appeared here, though you are moving incognito to the common man and are not visible to us who are on the verge of death? So, Sukadeva Goswami's arrival there was an extremely auspicious happening. And Parikshit Maharaj is giving the credit for that to Krishna. that it was Krishna's divine arrangement that out of his causeless mercy he sent you at a time like this. Please let me know what a man should hear, chant, remember and worship, and also what he should not do. Please explain all this to me. O powerful Brahmana, it is said that you hardly stay in the houses of men long enough to milk a cow. He would go to the house of a householder just the time it takes to milk a cow, because he'll just go there to take some milk and then go away. But the thing is that within these few minutes, he could bestow such inconceivable benedictions to all those householders. Sutta Goswami said, the king thus spoke and questioned the sage using the sweet language. Then the great and powerful personality of Son of Vasudeva, who knew the principles of religion, and to reply. And in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam actually begins. So first chapter is a prelude, the first canto, for creating the scene for Sukadeva Goswami to give Srimad Bhagavatam. Such a beautiful chapter, and Prabhupada made such wonderful points here, Sri Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada. So please read these narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam as presented by Srila Prabhupada. This is Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada. And that is the best way to achieve perfect knowledge. Hare Krishna, does anybody have any questions? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Guruvaj.
Yeah.
This is Adam.
Do you have any question?
I will just turn on the question key. Hare Krishna, everyone. If you'd like to ask Guruvaj a question, please dial *6 on your keypad, on dial pad, and you'll be placed into the conference queue. But please dial *6 if you'd like to ask a question. And then when you hear a message to ask your question, please go ahead. And please state your name and your location. Yes. Yeah. So, Shama, go ahead. Hare Krishna, Shyamal Prabhu.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Am I audible?
Let me ask you a question. Yes, now you're
audible. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. This is Shyamal Krishna from Bangalore.
Oh, hi, Shyamal Krishna. How are you?
I'm fine, Guru Maharaj. Your mercy.
Yeah.
It's going on.
Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, my question is regarding the point that Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport of text 6 of the 19th chapter. So there Srila Prabhupada writes that Jeev Goswami says that the river where Parikshit Maharaj sat was Yamuna and not Ganga. So he also makes the point that as Parikshit Maharaj ruled from Hastinapur, which is Delhi of current time, the geographic location also is suggestive that the river should be Yamuna. And also a similar confusion arises in the pastime where Lord Balram is dragging Hastinapur in the river when he becomes angry. So in the Bhagavatam it mentions that he drags it in the Ganges. But again, Srila Prabhupada, like in Krishna book, he writes that it's situated in the bank, Delhi is situated on the bank of River Yamuna, so it's more likely that he dragged it into River Yamuna. So the question is, if it is River Yamuna where Parikshit Maharaj sat and Lord Balram dragged Hastinapur, then why does Bhagavatam mention it to be River Ganga? And what about the place Sukhtal, which is near Meerut, which is on the bank of River Ganges, where it is said that the Bhagavatam was spoken?
I see. Well, we have to go according to our Acharya. Like, in Meerut, Ganga flows in Meerut?
Near that place, there's a small town called Sukhtal, so it's a general convention. People accept that Bhagavatam was spoken
but
there.
Is that on the bank of Ganges?
I think so, Guru Maharaj.
I see. The thing is, we have to understand here that, you know, they in Bhagavatam, no discrimination has been made between Ganga and Jamuna.
Okay.
It's the same river. It's the same river.
Okay, and so since Jeev Goswami writes that, so we have to understand that it was spoken, Bhagavatam was spoken near Yamuna.
Yeah. Because Hastinapur was on the bank of Yamuna.
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
And in a way, there is no difference between Ganga and Yamuna.
Okay.
Very nice. Thank you very much, Shyama Krishna.
Okay. Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for answering it.
Hare Krishna, any more questions? Please dial 2R. Okay. Hare Krishna?
Any other?
I think we may have one more question, Guru Maharaj. Please dial *6 on your telephone keypad if you'd like to ask Guru Maharaj a question. Yes, so we have one question. Let me just...
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj,
please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Nanda Dulal. Please accept my humble obeisances. All praise to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, this is wonderful that, you know, we can hear you at least, you know, although we are unfortunate not to see you. In the Mayapur.tv, I didn't, it was very late, you know, coming, so I didn't, you know. My question is, Guru Maharaj.
You see, like, I'm in Bombay, and where I'm staying, the Wi-Fi connection is not very strong. That's why they can set up the Mayapur key.
Okay, I understand. Because I got the email that, you know, it will be on Mayapur.tv. Guru Maharaj, my question is that, you know, when you mentioned about the Takshas, the transcendental serpent, but materially it is very difficult to, you know, perceive transcendental things, because whatever you see, you believe, you know, that the bird has, and the serpent has wings, and that's the way it comes, you know. So, how to, understand this thing? Because many places, and we know these things, that the transcendental things, you know, by our material perception, it is very difficult to grasp.
Material, what is difficult to grasp?
Transcendental things, like, you know, many places, Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, when you read, we know, we try to understand that it's transcendental, means it's beyond our mundane, you know, conception. But to tell somebody else, those who are just new and everything, how to make this transcendental thing clear?
No, I couldn't get it. What make what clear?
Like now, you mentioned this Takshat, you know, was a transcendental serpent, but not enough.
Transcendental what? You see, your line is not very good. So you have to speak a little loud.
No, transcendental snake.
Yes. Yes.
So,
okay. Okay. Celestial
or transcendent, right. Yeah. So now, yeah. To tell somebody when we are, you know, talking to newcomers about, you know, things in the celestial others, how to make them understand? Because we are a student of, you know, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, we can understand, you know, there's something beyond, you know, and we have firm faith in that. But to others,
I tell you what was my, what is Prabhupada's presentation about that, right?
Yeah.
The Prabhupada's presentation about that is, should we completely depend upon our own sense perception? Should we believe in things that we can only see with our eyes?
No.
Like, let us consider an ant. If you tell the ant that there are creatures called human beings, will the ant be able to understand? Can an ant see a human being with his eyes?
No.
So now, please place yourself in the position of an ant. There are creatures who are far greater than you.
Yes.
The creatures, those who are far greater than you, and they are, you know, and we are not able to see them. That doesn't, because I am not able to see them, that doesn't mean that they don't exist. Just as if the ants say human beings don't exist. Will it affect the human beings?
Yes.
Only the ant will not be able to understand. So in this way, we have to make it clear to them about the relativity of our existence. Just as there are extremely small creatures, there are also extremely great creatures. Just as ants are there are demigods are there. There are celestial beings are there.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. No?
It's a newcomer. Great. It's not a matter of newcomer or old veteran. Like, what is important is how we present the facts to them. They may not grasp it, but we have to make them understand. We have to make them grasp it. Especially those who are willing to hear. Those who are willing to hear, if you make it proper presentation, then they will understand and accept it. Okay.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Thank you. No, it gave me the insight how to present this issue. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. One more question from Nikhil Prabhu. Nikhil Prabhu, please go ahead with your question. Hare Krishna, Nikhil. Okay. We can't hear you, so I'll cancel your question. Okay, so I think that's all the questions pretty much.
Okay. Who was the last one asking the question?
That was Nikhil.
Nikhil from?
I don't know, Guru Maharaj. It's just that the name is given as Nikhil. Yeah. It doesn't have a location.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, in this one, how many were total viewers?
There are 20 callers, Guru Maharaj. 20 callers.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, probably, as you said, like, first we went to Mayapur TV and then the camera.
Yes, that's, yeah. I'm sorry about the broadcast issue.
Well, that's all right. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj, would you be able to do a teleconference next week?
Next week, what is the date?
13th. Saturday, 13th.
Let me see, because I'm in the middle of the Rath Yatra festival, and I do not know what Rath Yatra in Calcutta.
Yes,
so if I can, I will.
Sure. Okay.
Because, you know, like, this evening time, I'll have program in the Pandal.
Yes, Guruji, of course.
Okay. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Guruji. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, everyone else. Thank you very much for joining the conference call. And we'll be uploading this recording into the usual folder. And please also watch out on BCS Ishta Goshti and on Guru Maharaj's Facebook page for announcements of future classes. Thank you very much. So we'll end the call here. Hare Krishna.